chapter 5. And even if you're not part of that one group, our temptation is at times to be able to check out and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't have to listen, and we'll just wait till the next one. All right. But I think it's true that we need to listen to all of God's scripture, first of all. Second of all, there are principles here, even though it may not apply to us, that we can apply to our own lives. And so with that being said, let's go to our passage tonight, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. It says, "So I exhort you elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willing, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those who are in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Main idea, what are we going after tonight? Especially in the time of suffering, elders need to shepherd and give oversight. And we're going to look at three different questions here tonight as we look at elders and we look at this passage that Peter wrote to elders. The first question we're going to answer is, what is an elder? Second question, what should elders do? And the third question, what is the motivation of an elder? And so let's dig, jump right in there with the first verse and answer the question, what is an elder? It says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ." Here we see that Peter addresses himself as an elder, throws himself in the same category. It's a truly amazing statement of humility, actually, because he's an apostle and he is considering himself among the rest of the elders there, wanting to encourage them. But what does that mean? If you've served on the church board here for the last 10 years, anytime, you're starting to get a little nervous because we've been discussing this on and off for about 10 years now. What is an elder and how does it apply to our specific church context? But as Baptists, typically this term elder kind of throws us off sometimes. We're not used to it. Other denominations use it regularly, probably overuse it at times. And so let's just take a look at what the basic idea of an elder is. We're not going to be able to do an exhaustive study on this topic, but let's get a basic idea here. The term, the Greek word that we have here for elder is presbyter, and it simply means the elder, the eldest, or it means old. And it's possible that Peter is just referring to the people who are older within the congregation. He plays off that later in verse 5 when he addresses the younger, which we will see next. But I think he's going after something a little bit more specific here. In the Old Testament, we know if we read through that, the term elder is used over and over again to refer to someone who is in charge, someone who is leading, someone who has wisdom to be able to give oversight to that community, that religious group, or anything of that nature. And I think what is happening here is Peter, being a Jewish, coming from a Jewish background, is using a familiar term to people when he talks about an elder. And I think that's continuing to go on. I think another distinction that is important to make here is that elder is a role, not a vocational position. I think a lot of times we get the two and we blend them together, but it is possible for someone to be a paid staff member of a church and not be an elder. They can have a position of a director, pastoral assistant, etc., as they keep working, as they work and they do ministry in the church. On the other side of things, and even probably more commonly, it is possible for someone to not be on paid staff, be a member of the church, but also be an elder within that church. And for the sake of time, ultimately, when we come down to it, the word elder, overseer, bishop, shepherd are all referring to the same role, and that would be what we would call pastor. They are men in local churches who have been called and appointed to be leaders of that church. And how that plays out it varies from church to church, but in any way, Peter is wanting to address those particular leaders, the people who are called to be able to be leaders of the church. So, elders are the leaders. They're the ones giving oversight to the church. They're the ones that are there to be able to help the flock, as we will see here in a minute. So the question is, what should elders be doing? And he addresses that in verses 2 and 3. It says, "Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willing as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. First thing we see here, Paul say, or Peter saying here, is that they should shepherd and oversee. That he wants them to continue to perform their task of being able to shepherd the flock and oversee the administration of the church. A couple of quotes here. It says, all elders have the task of oversight and discipline of a congregation, shepherd, and the role of a guide or a steward. So that idea of shepherding, giving control over a flock, helping them to grow, helping to discipline, giving oversight, and then also a guide, a steward. Another quote says, elders must... most likely are responsible for caring for the people in the sense of administration and pastoral care. So they're giving oversight to the church. They're providing systems, providing roles, providing methods to be able to allow the church to be able to constantly grow while also meeting the pastoral needs of the church. The people who are in need, people are in need of growth, people are in need of encouragement, people are in need of rebuke, people are in need of practical care, and he is to oversee that that is happening as well. It's a big job, and you can see why one elder or one senior person is not going to be able to meet those needs to everyone unless you have a very, very small congregation. And so a pastor or an elder typically has a group of people and sets up systems to be able to do that. And in times of persecution, these roles are even more magnified. People are under stress. People don't know where to turn. People are confused. People are worried about the things right in front of them, and they forget the big picture. And so an elder is even more important. When the flock is hurting, being persecuted, and not sure where to turn, they need to be able to look to their elder shepherd for their look to their shepherd for guidance and truth. And Peter qualifies how an elder should shepherd and give oversight by saying three different things here. First of all, the elder should be willing. Verse 2 continues. It says, not under compulsion, but willingly. This can be referred to in two different ways. First of all, we see in Timothy, when Paul writes to Timothy, giving the qualifications of an elder, that they should, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. This shouldn't be something that's appointed to someone. We have some denominations who do that. Kind of names drawn out of a hat, and all of a sudden you become the spiritual leader of that. But this is something that the Lord places a desire within the heart of a man to be able to lead the flock, and it's a difficult task, but he gives them that desire to do that. I think secondly, the idea is, what do we do to be able to make sure the individual task that the elder is willingly able to go out and meet those needs? It's difficult. You guys get this in your own jobs too, where you love your job, you want to keep going, but there's days you roll out of bed and you just don't want to go to work, or you just don't want to go to that next meeting, and we do it out of compulsion. We do it because we need to. And Peter is saying here, I think, to the elders there, don't just do it out of compulsion. Don't just do it because you need to. Well, we are all sinful people, and so what that begs us to ask the question is what disciplines do we have in our lives to be able to change our perspective when we don't want to go and meet the needs of other people? Are we daily in the Word, praying, journaling, singing, doing things to feed our soul, to change our perspective, so then when our feelings change and we have that desire to go and change and go to be able to meet those needs? And that is the thing that we need to do, and we need to see that within our shepherd. Number two, he says serving. It says not for shameful gain, but eagerly. The NIV puts it this way, eagerly, eager to serve. The elder is a difficult job, but there's some elders that are out there, if we're honest, that are there for selfish agendas, selfish gain. Most of the time, when things get difficult, these people run and they don't stick around because it gets kind of goes against what they want. But Peter wants to remind them that they are in the role for the sake of others. If all he is looking for is earthly gain, he will truly find it. In order for them to do the job of an elder correctly, it is not a flashy or glamorous position. In order to serve other people, we need to roll up our sleeves and be willing to go to work, to walk through trials, help them understand truth and how it applies to daily life, and to see that the flock is moving towards maturity. It is a day-to-day grind. It is not a flashy thing. And it is there that an elder needs to be there to serve. And then lastly, we see here they need to be able to teach. It says, not domineering over over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. In the list of qualifications that I mentioned earlier with Paul, as he wrote to Timothy and Titus, he says in there that elders must be able to teach sound doctrine. However, I think Peter takes a different approach to this, that we always think of that as the ability to stand up front and to be able to deliver a message, to be able to instruct the people, to instruct the flock. But Peter is pointing out here that it's not just instructing them. It's not just telling them how to live their lives, but it is being an example for them to know how to live their lives, how to live out that doctrine practically in day-to-day life. And in the time of persecution, when people are looking to their elder and they go, how do we respond to this? It hurts. I don't want to do this. I don't know where to go from here. They need to be able to look to their elder and to be able to walk behind them and follow their example. In order to do this, the elder needs to be transparent, needs to be available, and needs to be able to allow the people to look into his life and to be able to help guide them along the way. So, elders, what do they need to do? They need to shepherd and oversee the local body of believers, doing it willingly, serving the flock, and teaching them by example the way to live this Christian life. And what is the motivation of an elder? The motivation of an elder, we see in verse 4 here, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. An elder must keep an eternal perspective. The job's too difficult to have just an earthly perspective on it. But when the elder has their face to the Savior, is longing for to see their Savior face to face, they will be able to endure through those difficult times. They will be able to maintain the perspective that the flock need to follow his example. An elder must have an eye on eternity and keep an eternal perspective on things. So what does this mean for us? I said in the beginning, we could still gain something from this, even though you're not an elder, even though you're not aspiring to be an elder. What can you gain from this? And I got four things here that I want to mention. First of all, who are the elders in our church? And interesting, I'll just leave it there, let you chew on that, let you think about that. It'd be interesting to hear other people's feedback. Who do you identify as an elder in Wheelersburg Baptist Church? Second thing here, encourage your elders. It is a weighty job. It's a difficult job for the elders to oversee and to care for the flock, and so encourage them. And the elders in the room, the shepherds, the overseers, shepherd and oversee faithfully. It is worth the work. It is worth the grind as we keep our eye on eternal things. Lastly, I want to speak to the sheep here, and I'm not going to steal too much from Gene here as he's going to address those, but are you willing, sheep? Are you willing to be shepherded? It's been my experience that there's been two responses when people hit trials, hit suffering in their life. One is they run to the church and they want to be shepherded. They want to be encouraged. They want to be spoken truth, truth spoken into their lives. But it always baffles me when I see people going through persecution and their attendance starts fading and they walk away for whatever reason, because the evil one's speaking lies into their heart, because they're ashamed, whatever the reason may be. I remember coming home frustrated, telling Bethany, why won't they let me help? And I know many shepherds who have said the same thing as they've overseen and they've walked with them. So be a sheep willing to be shepherded. With that, we'll close and we'll turn it over to Gene after Jim leads us in one more song. Thank you.